So just befriend the weak. And break another heart this And welcome to This Week in Wrestling Indies International. I'm Pete, and I'm with Timothy. Timothy, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going pretty good. It rains in L.A., and it shuts the whole frickin' city down with traffic and everything. And got my tickets for PWG before they announced that they were moving. Then they announced that they were moving, so that's going to be fun because it's even closer to where I live now, which is nice.
That is nice.
People are online talking about it being a bad neighborhood because it's downtown LA. Just based purely on statistics, there's a higher incident of violent crime reported in the San Fernando Valley, which is where Reseda is, than there is in downtown LA. So people just kind of have an idea of what downtown LA is like, and they probably haven't been there in years. The area that this is at actually is like where they have the ESPN event zone or whatever. It's right by Staples Center. It's like super nice, honestly, area of downtown, so it's nothing to be afraid of, people, but I totally understand.
Bigger venue too, right?
Bigger venue. Should be cool looking venue, should actually have air conditioning. They're also bringing back the locals four-way, which is exciting and a big part of why I decided to bite the bullet and get tickets to this show. So it's looking up and up to me. If this is the direction PWG is going, I will be excited to start going to the shows again. But hopefully it isn't this a one-time aberration.
Yeah, that's cool and stuff. I have tickets for Wrestle Circuits March 23rd, I think it is. I'm still waiting on March 24th for Inspire to see what they have for Rex Andrews is booked. They tell me he's booked. They have something in store for Rex. They just haven't told me what. So I'm waiting. But it's headlined by Joey Janela versus Steve Areno, which I think will be a really fun match. So I'm already leaning to get it. But Inspire doesn't sell out immediately, so I'm always good. And they moved to a different venue. The other venue was closer to my home. This one's a little further away. So I always hate going further away, but, you know, that's life. It's kind of been a slow week in wrestling-wise. I mean, I've been hearing that, you know, the WWE's been courted by Fox, and it's funny to hear, what's that guy, Colin Cowherd, who's been a pretty negative guy on wrestling, putting it over the other day on his show, doing a complete, like, 180 on it and stuff. Have you heard anything interesting going on?
No, I mean, not, like, news-wise, really, anything too interesting going on. And then wrestling-wise...
I know Tom Lawler, you know, is injured, so he might not make his dates for Mania weekend.
Right, and people are saying that Michael Elgin is getting all of his bookings pulled for the weekend, so we'll see what this means for other people. I mean, you got guys like Aussie Open are going to be in the area already, so hopefully maybe they can pick up some of these bookings, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Elgin didn't have any, did he?
I don't know if he did or didn't, but maybe nothing announced and stuff is now getting even taken back. I have no idea, but that's just what I've heard, that he's not really booked anywhere.
Yeah, because right now I don't think the Mania crowd is where they want to... Where he'd be really receptive for, you know?
No, I don't think anybody would be too into seeing him there.
That's definitely a full... I mean, the guys who go to those indie shows, there's... I mean, I'd say about 70% of them are the hardcores. And then there's still the people there who are just there for Mania. And they're you know, then they know there's more stuff now. They just... If you just want to piss people off, you'd book Michael Elgin.
Yeah, exactly.
And why do that? I mean, it's just bad business for you right now. He's Kryptonite, and the rest of us are Superman, I guess. Callahan in the news, I guess him and Jimmy Cornette going back and forth.
Oh, is that about that whole thing with the baseball bat, or what is it about?
Yeah. This one? Yeah, Callahan's kind of looking like a dick online, saying, well, look at my, his reply was, well, look at it, I will go all the way up in my bank account. You know, I hate when people do be cocky like that, you know?
Right. And, I mean, did you see the clip of the baseball bat thing?
I have not. Did you see it?
Yeah, it's kind of tough to even make out what happened. I mean, there's a chair, and he swings a bat. It doesn't even look like the chair really moves. I can't even tell if he really hits him. I mean, obviously he did hit him because he actually got injured, but it almost looks like he doesn't really even hit him and he just hits the mat. I have no idea what's going on there. But I mean, it just looks like an accident if it happened. Not really anything big to be all freaked out about, you know?
Right. And I guess interesting wrinkle, I guess Impact is running Mania Weekend. And they're doing an Impact versus Lucha Underground show, which shows that those companies are probably going to be obviously working going forward. And Lucha Underground's about to become a lot less strict on where their guys are working, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. The Lucha Underground guys seem to be getting all around, and probably because they wouldn't be able to keep half of them at this point if they didn't let them just kind of do whatever they want.
Yep. Oh gosh, what else is there? I guess CWF for officially announced that they're going on Twitch. You know, the news is pretty scattered on that. Who knows what that means? If you know, it's just a weird thing. You know, it's like we talked about a little bit. It's an older crowd who I don't know if Twitch if that means a whole lot to people for them. If it makes the company money, good. I'm just not sure. I mean, yeah, it's free with you if you have an Amazon Prime membership, or you get to follow one company for free or one site section for free with your Amazon Prime for 30 days. But yeah, then normally they're like $3.99 or $4.99 the service. I mean, I just don't know if people are going to be willing to pay for the for it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about this one, the Twitch, and I don't know what it's going to be. I think that there's some stuff that's put on Twitch for free. So I think they could be putting it on there for free, but I would doubt it, because why would you make that switch at that point when you already have the YouTube thing going? So I would assume
unless maybe there's some, maybe you get if the, based on followers on Twitch, maybe you make money. I mean, I don't know all the back end stuff, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Maybe there's a chance to monetize better on Twitch even without like an actual surcharge, which I think that actually is the case, because I think that Amazon Prime thing that you talked about, I think you would make money off of that. So
yeah. But other ones, like, you know, like Wrestle Circus and AAA and House of Hardcore, they actually run live feeds. I just don't know if they can do the live feed from where the location is and stuff. You can't even get cell service in the building most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that would help them either. I mean, why would they want to go for, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not. We're not in the room. We're not discussing it. They're not bouncing that idea off us on what why they're doing it. So
yeah, that's true.
But it's curious going forward and stuff. Another thing I've been kind of become addicted to are those Rex Files on the Fight Network. Have you ever watched any of those?
I've been watching some of them, but I haven't been keeping up with it religiously.
Digging him, I love his tour of Japan ones. The one he did right before it was he was talking about the international spot, and it was funny because he was explaining what they do, and then he goes, "Yeah, even Tracy Smothers did the spot with a bear in 1987," and they showed a clip of Smothers doing the international spot with the bear. on that. I thought that was so freaking cool. And that was in, I believe it was in Continental. And they were using the old This Week in Wrestling tapes with Pettisino and Gordon Solie would do those things, which was it was kind of like a back in the day. I don't know, do you know what that is? This Week in Wrestling.
Yeah, was it Wrestling Weekly?
Maybe it was Wrestling Weekly. It was like pretty much a video magazine type of thing where they'd cover all the territories and stuff. And I think they did it from like 85 to 87.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Or 87, 89, something like that.
Familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of neat at the time. So you can kind of see what was going on in other territories, and they give you quick little clips of matches and stuff. And they never gave you any full matches. So it was more of like your like a magazine, but in video form. It was one of those things. They did those things all the time. They've kind of become pretty much dead. Yeah. You don't really have too many of those type of things anymore out there. But just pretty interesting. Normally we cover CWF this week. They said it was getting uploaded. It never got uploaded, or if they did, they pulled it. The company hasn't responded on what's going on. So they're not obligated to tell us anything, but if they tell us it's going to be uploaded at 8 o'clock and it's not, and then I feel like they should tell us, hey, it's going to be uploaded next week, or give us some type of time frame, not that we're still working on it, because obviously there's problems, and you know what? I'd rather them polish up the product, because we've had some technical difficulties. Hasn't been anything where I've been like, God, I can't watch this stuff. But you know what? If they're able to keep the, they're able to clean it up where I'm not seeing it in red and blue, and the audio issues are fixed. I mean, I can understand them taking their time, and especially if they want to go forward on Twitch, they got to get that stuff fixed, you know, right?
Yeah, you would hope that you would improve the quality when you switch over processing, but it's interesting with the Twitch being announced and then this happening, and like you said, I don't mind whatever's going on, but it felt like they were kind of stringing everyone along. They start out saying, oh, it's uploading now. It's going to be up in about 2 hours. Oh, it's saying it's at 81% or something. As soon as it uploads, as soon as it finishes, then it'll be up. And then it just kind of keeps going. And then now there's an issue and it's not coming out until next week. They're going to do two episodes or double episodes or something. And I'm kind of like, well, how does that make any sense? Like, if it was uploading, if it was done and it was uploading, then how did that get changed to now it's coming out next week? You know?
And it wasn't even the company that announced that it was going to be taking 2 hours, be there next week.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't mind. You have issues, you have troubles, whatever. And like you said, you're not required to tell us. But yeah. I just don't like when you're kind of jacking us around, it seems, and you're saying just all this different random stuff instead of just saying the truth. Because when it changes that way, it makes me question it. I'm like, oh,
it's
okay.
It's like we just talked about with the Michael Elgin thing last week. If you... You fuck up, big fucking deal to say, hey, we messed up. It's not working right. It's not it's the audio's not sweet enough. We are working on fixing it. We hope to have it up by so and so time. We are sorry for the inconvenience, you know.
But on this one, like I said, I wouldn't even care if they said nothing. It's like, oh, it just didn't go up. Whatever. That sucks.
Yeah.
But when I feel like you go, oh, it is uploading, it's just taking longer to upload, it'll be up in a bit. Oh, actually, no, it's not uploading, it'll be up next week. Then I'm like, oh, okay, so you're just bullshitting. Like, there was something wrong with it, and you thought you were going to be able to fix it, and then when you couldn't, now you just accepted that it's going to be up late. And it's like, God, it comes across disingenuous.
Right, and, but you know... I mean, all reports were this show was really hot with a Trevor Lee and Wilkins going 59 minutes. Brad Attitude and supposedly Chet Sterling had a bonkers of a match. So I hope everything works out because stuff sounds like stuff I'd be interested in watching, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I just wonder, is it going to go up? Is this a trick and it's actually They're just going to switch to Twitch.
They corrupt the file.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they've had so many technical snafus lately. You kind of lose a little faith. And you know, and bottom line is wrestling is a creature of habit. You know, it used to be Saturday at 6:05. And then it became Monday night was Can't Miss Wrestling. And for the CWF crowd, it was when it was uploaded, it was always uploaded at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. For me, in my time zone, in Central, it was 8 o'clock Central. I got my CWF right after NXT. And if you start jacking around with that, and I know it's a missed accident, it's just one of those things. It's wrestling's a creature habit. But yeah, at least with YouTube, you can go back and watch it whenever you want. So it's not like you have to catch your first run. But it always, even though it's not live, it always feels like it's, you know, it's first run, because I stay pretty spoiler-free for the most part. But yeah, it's just kind of disappointing, but it happens. I mean, it happened with NWL last week where we didn't get an episode. Well, they uploaded two. But we're only going to review one of them this week because, and we'll explain it when we get to that. Anything else you want to add before we get into that?
No, let's get into it.
All right, great. They uploaded NWL episode 57 and 58. And what it is they have it on their YouTube, but it also airs locally. So you get, what we're going to do here is we're going to look at episode 57. But what they did also is they also uploaded the full matches. They're a little bit clipped up for their TV, so they get so they can send it out to the local market. So that's what also airs on their YouTube channel. But then the owl was cool enough to upload the full matches. Episode 58 is just the episode. They didn't upload the full matches. So we're going to wait a week to do 58 to see if they upload the full matches or not. And if not, we'll review episode 58. That sound good with you, Tim?
Yeah, that sounds fine. We can start doing it that way. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. And we're also going to look at the Besties versus the Foundation street fight. You got a chance to watch that, right, Tim?
Yeah, no, I checked that one out as well.
All right, cool. So we open up with Matt Fitchett and Veggie. Davey Vega, and then Matt Jackson comes out, and they do kind of like a little comedy skit. What'd you say? It was kind of humorous. What about you?
Yeah, I like it. I like Matt Jackson. I'm digging the character here, and his playing off of the Besties is pretty good so far. I'm caught up to speed on the storyline. It feels like pretty quickly, and it's fine.
Yeah, the cool thing about this company is the history of a lot of the workers, where they know each other for years. Like Fitch and Vega and Matt Jackson traveled a lot together, and so they know each other, and you can just tell they're generally having fun together. That opens up with Maverick versus Sharkbait. Sharkbait Gutierrez, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez. What'd you make of the match, man?
It's like a semi-extended squash. Sharkbait is like a MMA guy, but he's kind of a hapless loser kind of character. But he's got some good offense.
That's the nickname Sharkbait, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly. He's got some good offense, some good underneath, but realistically Maverick just kind of kicks his ass, keeps putting him down, puts him down pretty handily when it's over. Maverick's manager here, I'm not familiar with the guy, but he just seems so useless. I mean, all he does is set up the promo for Maverick to then cut the promo. Maverick is here asking for a rematch against Gary J. And then that reminded me that we had like a big angle like two weeks ago with Gary J, maybe 3 weeks ago, getting attacked before a match or whatever. And then there's been no follow-up on that. So we're like both just kind of getting started in NWL and reviewing it, but I didn't really think about that. And I'm like, God, was that angle completely dropped and now they're moving on or moving backwards to someone who's looking for a rematch? I don't know really what's going on there.
Yeah, it felt like they should hit it over the head a little bit more. It's like, because NXT would definitely be, you know, doing video packages, like, for the next three, every week that it's leading up to the match, the rematch. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they, obviously they're continuing the story because Maverick is there and cuts a promo on him. But if it felt like they needed to read, maybe to throw a highlight of it, what happened and stuff, because it was a heavy angle, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a big time angle, and again, I don't remember it completely, but I don't know if it was the same guy who attacked.
It was Maverick was the guy who attacked.
Okay,
him.
So it was. For some reason, I remember it being a guy with longer hair.
Yeah, no, it was Maverick.
Okay, so yeah, so they should have followed up on it better, just so that I wouldn't be confused here, basically.
Yeah, and I liked the match. I thought it was a good squash, and I'm like with you. I liked Shark Bake, his hope spots in the match from underneath. But yeah, Maverick's a lot bigger than Shark Bake, so it's believable that he just kicked the living shit out of him. Yeah, and then the Maverick promo, I thought it was good. He wants the title shot, but yeah, we need to see more of the Gary J thing. Then we get a. Who's it? We got another promo from who's this?
This was Marty Bell. Fine promo, nothing too great here. Just talking about she wants to get this match with what is her name? It's Carmelita or whatever. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head right now, unfortunately. But she's just calling her out, trying to get her match.
All right, and that leads us to Thor Thierot versus ACH. I enjoyed this match. Gave me like 3.25. Good feeling out period. They did these mirror spots early, which I thought was a little surprising since they said they'd never worked each other before. So usually you say the mirror spots for like partners or guys who know each other real well. So I thought that was a different take. And I thought ACH early on working the arm, I thought he was pretty good at it. I kind of like ACH being kind of cocky and getting the crowd to back Thor. I like ACH dinging the post and selling it. ACH plunk dive, I thought was really cool. ACH with the frog splash and he's selling the ribs big time. Really gets interesting halfway in. And I really like to finish the match. A good solid 3.25 star match. What about you, man?
Yeah, it's pretty much same feelings there. They did come across for it being a big time first matchup, like they were too familiar with each other. But I thought that Thor, was it Thor Terrio or whatever his name is, looked really good, especially against someone like ACH, who's really well known world traveler, supposed to be top flight, you know, fast paced worker and all this. I thought he kept up with him really well. Looked real good, showed off even some like better, more power game while also being able to keep up the speed there. I really liked him here. He's got potential as far as I'm concerned. So I liked the match. I'm with you. I thought pretty good, but a couple parts comes across a little bit too choreographed, but I thought that ACH did pretty well to keep it somewhat reined in and he wasn't as goofy and ridiculous as he can be in other settings.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing about ACH. Sometimes he really is on point, and he's trying to get a guy over, and here he was trying to get Thor over. So he worked it. He worked hard. And then there's times where, like, you know, it's almost like, why do you bring him in and book him if he's just going to be this goofball? Because you can pay anybody to be this fucking goofball, you know?
I know, exactly. The guy is a top-level talent, and when he shows the propensity to be able to use what he has to get people over so well. I mean, if you have him on your card, you should be really using him to invest in your future like this.
Yep, and then that leads us to a Jeremy Wyatt promo. Good solid stuff, right? Nothing, you know, wasn't like amazing, but a good solid what we're going to get. What do you think?
Yeah, good promo. But yeah, just like not top level, but good.
And then we get a Wyatt versus Matt Fitchin match. What do you think of this, man?
I like this a lot. I thought that the opening shine from Fitchett seemed a little dull, though. He really felt like he had almost nothing. It was like, I was kind of bummed out on that because I'm someone who has been somewhat high on Fitchett. I think that he he's got potential there as well as someone who he gets over naturally. The crowd's into him. He usually shows off a lot of good offense, but I thought that he really didn't do much here to get me invested in the opening of the match. And Kerr, it really felt like he hit a couple flying moves and then he just was lost and had no offense to go from there. So luckily that got cut off relatively quickly, especially in a really nice way with Jeremy Wyatt hitting this big backbreaker onto the top turnbuckle that I thought was a great way to then set up working over the back, which he's doing on the floor. He's all over him. And so with that back work, I was like, God, you know, I'm really liking Wyatt's work here. He's got a nice focus. But then Fitchett turns around and he kind of blows, not necessarily blows the back work, but I find it interesting that he turns around and he's selling the knee. And I'm like, God, you're getting your back worked over. Why? Where's this kind of knee selling even coming from? As he goes for like a backflipping Pele kick, and then he goes for the Busaiku knee, but he can't because his knee's messed up. And I was like, ah, like I get what he's trying to do, but the Wyatt back focus was clear where it should be. And you could do the same spot, but go to the back. But it seems like he just lost track of what was going on because of, you know, normally you would think of someone trying to ground a high flyer by working over their knee in that way. So it's just probably natural for him to think of doing that. Like the finish, like the pile driver to finish it off. Good solid work from Jeremy Wyatt. Fitchett just, for me, Fitchett just wasn't on his A game here.
Okay, see, I viewed it differently. I didn't see him really blowing off the back work. I thought he sold it really well throughout the whole entire match, to tell you the truth.
No, I didn't say that I thought he blew off the back work. What I'm saying is I don't know where the knee thing came from. Because he's coming running, and then his knee just collapses and buckles, and he's selling the knee, and I'm like, where's this knee coming from? Because your back's been getting worked over the whole time.
Gotcha. I thought there was like a spot where he dung the knee. I didn't see that much in the match either. So, I mean, I guess I'm seeing something different than you did a little bit. But I'm with you. I kind of get the shine, but I thought Fitch's opening salvo was good enough to get the crowd rallied behind him immediately. But then I thought it was more a solid shine, but I thought it was dynamic, the dives in the early on part of it. But then once Wyatt cuts him off and starts working over the back, I thought this was really good. And I thought Fitchett sold the back real well. I loved all Wyatt's cutoffs that had to deal with the back. Wyatt getting his arm posts, and I liked Fitchett working it over. I kind of liked the payoff to the back work. And I really liked the setup of the finish where it looks like Fitchett is on the ropes and he's kind of got to throw everything at, throw everything into his Bushido knee. And then Wyatt's able to kick out at two and it's just not enough. And, Fitchett just doesn't have anything left. And that's when Wyatt's able to finish him off. I thought it was a legit 4-star match. And Wyatt's really becoming one of my favorites. I enjoyed the show. What about you?
Yeah, I really like the show. NLW is becoming a quick hit for me, as something I'm enjoying watching every week. I'm with you on Wyatt. I'm really liking him. He's not like a top level promo guy, like I said, but he definitely serves the role that he needs to, and I like him really a lot here as the champion.
Agreed. I mean, and we've seen him have, seemed like the guy has really good psychology. We've seen him work an arm, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and really dissect that, or it was the leg, one of the two.
Yeah, it was the leg.
Now we've seen him go over and build a work a match around working the back. So the guy has really strong story style counting skills, and that goes a long way for me and stuff, because I like targeting a section and working it, and I think it's the smartest way to tell a story. What about you?
Yeah, and it was in the title win match against Draper that he worked over the knee until the knee collapsed when he was looking for that doctor bomb. And so yeah, I think the guy's got great psychology, good focus, good stuff. And as I said, I thought that the work with Fitchett was great, but I just I didn't see where the knee selling came from. And I agree with you when you mentioned the opening The kind of the opening high flying from Fidget was good, and it served its purpose for a shine in that it did get the crowd into him really quick. But I did think that he lingered a little bit, looking like he had no focus until the cutoff started. So that was my only kind of ding on that part. But overall, I mean, yeah, really, really good stuff. Really enjoying NLW and really enjoying Wyatt quite a bit as well. So
yeah, I think cool we're pretty much on the same page. Like
yeah.
Yep. Man, on that note, why don't we take a break? No, no, not a break. Let's talk about the Besties versus the Foundation Street Fight. I think it's going to air on their television in like three episodes. I think it's episode 63. It just happened this past week. And I absolutely love this brawl, Street Fight. First, you have the Besties come out, and Fitch is wearing jeans. And if you're in a street fight, you've got to be wearing jeans, okay? And then the Foundation come out. They're wearing jeans. And not only that, they're doing an homage to Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk with the Fitch Sucks Egg shirts and Vegas Sucks Egg shirts. I freaking loved it. And all we got was a wild brawl. They brawled over to the concession stand. They used some weapons, but they never overused the weapons where it was always personal. We got blood, so we got a quadruple bloody brawl. These guys are just really hate-filled. These guys are just battling all over. It was, you know, Texas Tornado rule, so it had a chaos to it. It was hard to follow some of the action early because of they're battling all over the place, but it did have a Puerto Rico chaos, the chaotic feel going into the crowd. And I gotta say, man, I thought it was really unique. Vega taping up a cinder block to his knee, and that was the finish, which is an homage kind of to the old school wrestlers who would load up the knee for the finish or the loaded boot. But here we actually see the brick. It's legal. He tapes it up, and the Besties win the tag titles. I thought it was a legit 4.5-star brawl. I thought it was fucking awesome. It hit all my things. The key part was it was personal, and they had some real unique spots in this. And I don't think they overdid the weapons at all. Even though they used them, I never felt that it became an over cliche, if you will. What'd you make of the match, man?
Yeah, I was pretty close to you on that. I gave it 4 stars. I thought that the filming for the brawl around the ring, and I mean, that's for me, it's pretty good for a match that has so much crowd brawling, because that's a big pet peeve for me, honestly. But I thought that they did a good job here with the crowd brawling, especially on the production end, which a lot of times becomes the issue with indie matches trying to do this kind of stuff. And I kind of give my hats off to NWL for that. You talked about it coming across Puerto Rico wild. I actually liked that. I thought the production, they had multiple camera shots, even on the brawling in the crowd, which I thought was really impressive. And it was kind of not lit perfectly, but that kind of added to making it feel spontaneous. Like yeah. It was really just a fight happening all around the building.
Yeah, and you see him trying to get the spotlight on him. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it all felt like it wasn't just too cute or, you know, too set up and perfect and everything falls into place. It was nice and had some realness to it. Another little wrinkle that I loved was, you know, the ring announcer says the following match is a street fight for the tag team titles. The announcements will be made with the competitors in the ring, and then the Besties dive over the top and the brawl fight starts everything, and commentary even mentions it. Oh, we didn't get the announcements because Best Friends jumped to this thing off, and that felt, you know, that felt realistic too, because it's like, yeah, why would you, you know, why would you set up something that you're not going to actually do? You know, why would you set up, we're going to do the announcements in the ring if you're going to start the match off hot? So it just adds to more of the realism and the spontaneity of the whole thing. So I really liked that. I thought that they did a really good job there. I love the Foundation getting out forks and trash cans and just really going hard, digging into these guys. There seems to be juice all around. Vega gets put out with a nasty ladder to the face, which I thought was a great spot to set up for kind of a hope for Fitchett. It was kind of, if you think about it in terms of like a regular tag team match, it was almost like a setup for a hot tag or something, as that led to Fitchett now coming in, House of Fire, trying to fight off both guys, brings in a chair, as Vega is out of it and just completely decimated. But he gets taken down. They get out some drawing pins. I mean, everyone takes bumps into the tacks, including a really nasty senton from Fitchett right into the tacks. No water in the pool. I mean, that was just gross. Yeah, I thought trash can on the head, big super kicks, I thought was great. One thing that did irk me a little was it felt like Steel trying to get set up for the helicopter ladder spot was a little too cute, as he tried to like act like he kind of just ended up with the ladder on his head on accident, but it was very clear that it was set up. So that was the one thing, but that was such a small detail that it didn't really matter.
And for me, I kind of dug it. They're wearing the egg sucking dog shirts.
Yeah, I love that.
And because it's like it was an homage to Terry Funk, so I can see where you're coming from, but it's like you can overlook it because of all the like coolness factor to it, you know?
Yeah, and to me, like I said, my only issue with the spot is that he tried to act like he got knocked into the corner and just happened to pop up with the ladder on his head. And if he had just done the spot, I would have liked it. It would have been no problem there, you know? But So I liked that. I liked everything, really. Enjoyed the match. The finish was brutal with the brick on the knee. And I kind of liked that the finish almost felt slightly abrupt because it is such a brutal finisher with the last shot onto the knee has a brick tape to it. It was pretty good. Like I said, I'm with you. 4-star. And if I want to be the man, you know, the old man shouting at the cloud, I'll tell this crowd not to chant "you deserve it" at the end of the match. But, I don't want to be that curmudgeonly Jim Cornette like we were talking about earlier.
Well, I'll be that curmudgeonly. Yeah. It's kind of, I didn't, you know, it is what it is. It's 2018 crowd. You don't do what "you deserve it" when you fucking beat somebody with a fucking brick to the fucking head as you're finished.
Yeah, exactly. You should be in awe of the disgustingness with which they dispatched their opponents. Yeah,
exactly.
So, but good match from the guys in the ring. I can't judge the match based on the crowd, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. What they did was they brought it and had a fucking Smoky Mountain Wrestling Rock and Roll Express versus the Heavenly Bodies Wild Brawl Street Fight, which is, or the Gangstas. Which is a high compliment for me, where this thing would have, I mean, the besties were your ugliest baby, blow job baby face team. This is the Rock and Roll Express of 2000s. And they had a hell of a brawl with the Foundation, who I like him. I like him as an old throwback team. Ace Steel, God bless him. That guy's been around. I mean, he trained freaking Punk, for crying out loud. This guy, I remember him in IWA Mid-South in like 99 having really, really good matches. It's cool to see him in 2018 still going strong, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And he looks, I mean, not just as good as ever, but he's still real good out
there. Yeah, he looks the veteran. He looks the part, and he looks good as any playing a curmudgeon veteran, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, on that note, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at NXT.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new. You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. all of these shows, plus others available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, man. We open up with Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Bate, and we're looking at NXT. What'd you make of the match, man?
Well, this match was really interesting, especially comparing it to, and I forgot to do this because a listener to the show, Carl Mann, former guest on a podcast with me, said that he liked doing the match recommendations. A match that I would have recommended would be Tyler Bate versus Zack Sabre Jr. from Progress 63 over the past week that I watched or whatever. And comparatively, Tyler Bate is a totally different guy in this match compared to that match. In that match, he's underdog, getting bossed around, being led by the nose by the veteran Zack Sabre Jr. In this match, he's the driving force of the match in-ring work-wise, while Dream is just playing up his character work to the hilt. And it really delivers big time there. I mean, Dream does very little in this match. Bate keeps up the high energy, makes it feel like you're actually still watching a lot of action in a big time crazy match, because Bate's holding up that end of the deal, while Dream is, you know, like I said, working the character stuff, you know, kicking the steps and getting pissed off and all this stuff. So good stuff. Really liked it. I think the match had a really nice feel of two guys, up and comers, who this match has importance on their futures. It's going to dictate kind of where these guys are going, as they both have a bunch of potential. They're both moving important. They're both moving forward to something important. I like Moravanalo saying Bate's eggs got scrambled when he gets crotched on the top rope. It's just a stupid line that I enjoyed. And then the big top rope elbow for Dream to get the win. Didn't feel like Bate lost anything in the loss here, but like I said, this match did feel like it's going to mean something in the futures of two guys who are supposedly kind of rookies on the rise. So I really did like the setup here. And it was a match that you didn't expect. It didn't need any build, but because NXT does such a good job of their characters and you knowing the importance of stuff, it still felt important even with no kind of focus being put on it.
Yeah, I'll get you back to the match in a minute. What did you make of the Sabre Jr. and Tyler Bate match from Progress?
I liked it a lot. I thought that Zach was bringing a nice kind of intensity, but not necessarily the overt heelness that he's been bringing in a lot of other places. I thought Bate did a really good job of showing off some underdog selling, which is not something that he's been doing a lot of, honestly. He's really kind of been primarily just this wonderkind character who kind of is just all action, all energy. And he does so well in specific spots, I think, with especially with those Pete Dunne matches. But I thought that here he showed some more depth in his selling overall. And I thought it was a really phenomenal showing from both guys, and really came out of it feeling like Bate is ready to stop being just that phenomenal, he's a youngster who can be in these great matches as just a cog, and start to take his place in the top of the pecking order.
Yeah, I think I gave it 4 or 4.25. I can't remember which one. But yeah, I was really impressed with it. I liked it better than I watched like a few Zack Sabre Jr. matches this weekend, including one we'll review later on. I liked it better than all of the ones I saw, you know?
Yeah, and it's really, really good. And kind of interesting because, like I said, Zach, to me, I really love Zach as a really shitty heel. And here he was playing more of a grumpy vet and less of like a pure heel. And like you said, it still was like one of his better performances.
Yep. Yeah, now on this match, I found it interesting. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good bout. I just feel it's weird right now because it feels like the crowd is treating Velveteen Dream like a babyface, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They love the guy.
Yeah. And you know, he still works like a heel at times, but he's cheered. It's just tough to make it work, the match work, the way he does, because Dream is working heel, but he's getting cheered. Bate's a babyface, and he's getting cheered. I'm interested to see why don't they just start pull the trigger and have Bate, not Bate, but Velveteen Dream start working heels. I just think the dynamic would work better. And, you know, I would tell Dream to work the same way he is, work like a heel. But he's getting babyface cheers. It just feels weird because Tyler Bate is a straight up a babyface. And Dream is in that role right now where the company hasn't pulled the trigger on him as a babyface, but he's a babyface. So it's like that awkward transitioning period right now we're having. And I think we're going to have some matches. That's what I enjoyed the bout, but I felt there was a little awkwardness because of the whole babyface versus babyface factor. But one's a heel, but he's a babyface. Does that make any sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. It's kind of a running theme in wrestling in general, and especially in WWE, it seems, where
yeah,
guys are just not aligned where they should be when it comes to heel, face, all that.
Come with their reactions. Yeah, you're correct. And then we get an Ellering and Authors of Pain promo from... they're trying to make it look unique and different. I thought it was just like stupid. What about you?
Yeah, I don't even remember it, honestly. It didn't stand out to me at all, and I didn't even write it in my notes. Yeah, I did not care about this promo at all.
Then we got the referee and Regal and Gargano. Why are the refs there? I have no idea. Signing of Gargano's resignation. I kind of like this. I like the ref apologizing for blowing the call. It was pretty somber. I thought they did a good job with it, though. What about you?
Yeah, I guess they were just trying to have the referee there to apologize for fucking him over, right? And it's Drake, so I'm not going to complain too much. It's always nice to see Drake on there. But it is interesting to think, like, why would they have him there? And is there going to be more to that? Is there, like, a real reason why you would have him involved that way? Are they actually going to maybe turn it into some kind of angle? I doubt it, but who knows?
Yeah. Then we got Adam Cole versus... Cesar Bononi, they teased him to join Undisputed, but ha, they tricked him. We've seen this before, rinse, repeat. Adam Cole, man, he's such a cliche as a worker right now. I mean, he's not engaging. He's over to their audience, but I just think he's looking I don't know, man. He just feels like he's missing something, and, Fish and O'Reilly, I think, are the more important part of the act. To me, they're the ones getting over. And Cole's just floundering, but he's still getting a push. And he gets the win here. Well, what you make of this, man?
Yeah, I mean, Cole, the conversation, right, is all that, you know, oh, Cole's been saving it for NXT. And once he's there, then he's gonna turn it up and start wrestling again. And he's pulling the same old shtick. I'm not seeing him trying to work, and either, you know, the shenanigans at the opening of the match. I guess there's an argument for, like, he's the guy doing this stuff, and there's only one, so it's fine. But, I mean, the stuff, it's like his whole match is built around the idea that he's not going to wrestle. He's just going to do goofy angles and pose to the crowd to get them to say Adam Cole, baby, and all that. And it's just, I'm just not getting very much out of him. So we'll see... if he steps it up at any point here in his NXT run. But as of right now, I'm with you. He does nothing for me, but I mean, I think, I don't know. Is it like a Finn Balor thing? Like, I hate to say that, but like Finn Balor to me never felt like he was all that super over in NXT either. Like the crowd got into him, but they just told you that he was great, but I never really saw it. And it feels like it's a very similar thing where it's like, I think Triple H, like, the idea of the whole Sin Cara botch, and it was Triple H's thing, and he tried to bring in this luchador, and he couldn't get him over to the main crowd in this. Like, I feel like now, like, they just pretend like that's not an option. And, like, if Triple H was, like, super excited about bringing someone in and he signs him, it doesn't really matter how they perform or really anything. They're just going to pretend like they're successful and that they were a great acquisition. Even in a situation like this where it feels like it was... It's kind of, he's just a waste on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's just weird right now. He just feels like a gimmick or a character of Adam Cole in a way, which I didn't think was possible. But yeah, he does nothing for me. But man, they did a great video package on Sane and Baszler. I absolutely loved it. What about you?
Yeah, this was phenomenal. Got me super excited for the match, even if it is happening, you know, right now. It was just great. I mean, making this match seem like the most important match that you could have. And then it's funny because, you know, it's not for the women's title. It's just for the grudge match or whatever. So I guess The women's title's taking a back seat to Shayna. And, you know, I won't say that
they're building her up.
Yeah, I won't say that I predicted it or saw it coming or whatever, but I did expect her to hit the ground running. But yeah, they're already instantly treating her like she's more important than the champion. And it's kind of hard to not buy into it. Like, she's just fucking great. I mean, God, she's so good.
Yep. And then we get the exact opposite. We get the Street Profits in a terrible segment. This thing was just stupid.
I like that it showed us something about them, because the other videos showed us nothing about them for personality-wise. But I agree with you that, it didn't make me like them or get into them or anything, so I don't know. I think they're just not for me.
Interviewing each other, I thought it was just lame as shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. Just dumb for me, anyway. And then we get Kairi Sane and we get Baszler in a match. I was shocked that Baszler went over so strong in this. I thought they'd have Sane look a little better, man. This is almost like an extended squash. What are you thinking here? They totally used Sane as setup here to get Baszler over.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like Shayna was the most important thing. I already kind of was mentioning that before, but this match even kind of felt like it reiterated that. Sane's selling was very good throughout. I mean, this was legit at times. Felt like they were really going at each other. But it's interesting because, yeah, the NXT crowd, I don't think they know how to deal with a situation like this, because they want to like the cool heel. They're so inclined to cheer for the Shayna Baszler type, even if...
But Baszler's such a bitch, you can't cheer for her, you know?
Yeah, so they don't really get 100% behind her. So it's not like the Velveteen Dream, where just because she's a heel that they really like, they cheer for her. Or even
Adam Cole. Velveteen Dream's a super charismatic heel, you know, flamboyant. While Baszler is just a mean girl, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it has a similar thing. And then I don't know if a pure, cheery underdog babyface like Kairi Sane is really going to get over in NXT either. But, I mean, we saw in the Rumble how over she was and how great she looked. So I think
Sane is going to be huge when she gets up on the main card. It's just not working in the small. It's just the gimmick is kind of just like Elias. Elias is 8 billion times a star now than he was in NXT. And I think Sane is going to be the same way. It's a gimmick that'll get over it a lot bigger in a big room. It doesn't play to the small, marquee crowd, to tell you the truth.
And I feel like Shayna is almost in the same basket as well. Like, very similar to Elias in that, old school heat getting heel that the crowd can actually get behind. The difference is, I think that, you know, obviously Shayna has a lot more pedigree in the ring, so the NXT crowd will still get into her matches. But I think, as much as me and you love her character, I think her character will get over even better in the main kind of shows, because I think the crowd will actually fucking hate her, and they'll actually start to dislike her. Like, similar to Elias, where you actually get heat and actually kind of fit the role that you're supposed to on the main roster, because this crowd doesn't... I feel like this crowd doesn't want to give any heat that's not, ironic, because they don't want people to think that they're falling for the heels or something and being marks. Like, it almost feels that way.
You know, they've always talked about the horsewomen versus the horsewomen, and I can see that match happening either this year at Survivor Series or next year at Mania. Where, you know, I think eventually at the end of the year, I think Rousey's going to have to go heel. She'll be a babyface early, but eventually she'll start getting booed. And then that's when you bring Baszler up, and that'll be their twosome. And then you add what's her name, and that's the third, and then you add another one for their four.
Yeah, right. And I think that Ronda can get through being a babyface against Stephanie, but yeah, I think instantly after that she needs to go heel. I even don't know if I would be shocked to see Ronda turn if it does end up being Stephanie Triple H versus Ronda and Kurt Angle having her turn on Kurt Angle. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked.
I hope not that early.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I think we need the happy moment of her tapping out Steph and try to babyface her early and let's see if it works. But if it doesn't, you can definitely go in that other direction and build to the four horsewomen. But this match actually felt like Kairi Sane was leaving the territory on how they presented her, being choked out. I mean, she was straight up set up to set up the bigger match, which was Moon and Baszler. You can make the argument that Kairi Sane is a bigger star than all three of them.
Or at least she should be. Like, she should be treated as the biggest star of the three.
But yeah, I just felt weird, honestly. Because, I mean, he set it up with her making the big save last week. And then here, she was pretty much, I mean, I don't want to say it was an extended squash, but it felt finality, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they didn't even give her an out for a rematch or anything for the future. This was Baszler just dominating.
Yeah, no, she just got her ass kicked. That was it.
Like, yeah.
There wasn't anything else to it. She didn't.
And then Baszler's end line of, I'll either take Ember's belt or her limb. I thought that was great. Which, again, plays to the small crowd because the whole crowd can hear it from where she's saying it, you know? Where if she was doing it on the big roster, I don't think the whole crowd would hear what she's saying, but they hear in the smaller building. And he got over, you know?
Yeah, no, the crowd is definitely... She's a great small room worker, too, I guess. So maybe I just think that Shane is going to be great everywhere.
I'm just not sure if her charisma translate onto the big screen yet. I will see. Don't get me wrong. But she's off to a great start right now in NXT. I ain't going to lie about that. And then we get Almas and Vega, and they pretty much put down Gargano the whole entire time in their interview. But Aleister Black's out, and then Killian Dane is out, and Dane lays out Black like he's nothing. I couldn't believe they did this angle that hard, that Black would show that much ass in an angle or get dominated in an angle that bad. A little surprising. I thought they'd go a little bit more. I don't mind Black getting laid out, but I thought they'd at least go a little longer than what they did. I'm not sure how it would have presented it, but it felt like it hurt Black, this angle, how quickly it was. And Dane's finisher isn't like this killer move, you know what I'm saying? It's a cross body block. So that might, I mean, be one thing, maybe it was like, if it was an F5 or something that Black ate, but he ate that stupid running cross body that, yeah, it's a cool finish, but it's not a devastating knock you out type of finish. But what'd you make of it?
I can definitely see your side of it, but I actually think it was probably pretty smart because Dane could almost use the credibility here.
Right.
And I liked the way it was set up with Almas and Vega being on the ramp watching the whole thing.
And they're looking like they're watching a car crash.
Right. And I love that. I mean, they do a really good job. I heard some people call out Almas for his promo skills not being great here, which obviously, you know, new language, not going to be the best. But
yeah,
he comes across cool, I think, even if he's not doing great in English, but that's fine. But what I really like...
Vega for.
Yeah, and he's got Vega there doing all the talking, and she does a great job. But what I really liked on the ramp stuff there is, like you said, they're acting like they're watching a car crash, but then they also... you can almost see it turn as they almost get a devious twinge to it as they realize, like, well, yeah, they're going to try to take my title, but they're going to kill each other first.
Yeah,
so maybe by the time...
kill each other first, they won't pick up the scrap.
Yeah, by the time they get to me, there won't be much left. So I kind
of
let...
Which is their character, you know, coming off the win of how they retired Gargano.
Exactly. So yeah, I definitely liked that, and I thought that the acting and the way that was put together was super well done. Like I said, I think that Dane's move needs to be put over, so I agree with what you're saying about that it doesn't have a lot of strength to it right now, but I think that it's important for them to use this to build it, and I think that if you're going to start building Dane up for a big-time match with Black that everyone can get into, I think that they did a good job.
fair enough. Overall, I enjoyed the show. It had some hiccups. We didn't get any blow-away matches or anything, but it felt like they were going in the right direction, building what they needed to do. I was really surprised on how strong Sane put Baszler over. I mean, that was like it felt like Sane was leaving the territory, how well she put Baszler over. But we'll see. It almost feels like it's hard to rehabilitate her after that type of loss. But overall, yeah, I enjoyed it enough. It wasn't blow away or anything. I would say I enjoyed the NWL TV better than this, but this was still enjoyable. What you make of everything?
Yeah, I definitely really liked NWL a lot, but I can see what you're saying. The NXT was not quite as good. I liked what we got here. I like the basic stuff, but it's kind of funny with CWF on hiatus for the week and NWL, I think kind of recently becoming the highlight of the week. It's kind of interesting to have a week with just the NWL without the CWF. It'll be interesting with everything changing in the Twitch and all that to see if this doesn't become the regular. I mean, hopefully not, but it just might. This might be a sign of things to come. The NXT is right where it always has been, though. Just it's solid, but not maybe the best show in the world. But definitely serves its purpose and builds up stuff. There's some places where you can question booking points, but it's kind of a lot of it comes across like style arguments. You know, what's your personal preference and not necessarily good and bad. While other places, I think we've talked about the booking and it's just, we straight up say like, it's bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think the NXT, I think that there's an argument for all the booking stuff that we might question.
Exactly. Hey, on that note, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Rev Pro show. I believe it's This Is the End is what it's called.
At Our Best. At Our Best.
At Our Best, okay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back with Rev Rose, Rev Pros at Our Best show. And it opens up with Phantasmo versus Tyler Bate. I enjoyed the match. I gave it 2 3/4. I like Bate working on the arm and the wrist. Like the head standoff. It works really good in an opener because you're trying to do the melting pot match of like action comedy, so it works. It works in the opening match. I don't think it would work in a main event slot spot, but it's a spot that works great in an opening match slot. nasty stomp of the arm by Bate, and I thought it was a good solid opener, 2 3/4, just enough, you know, to get you going. What'd you make of it, man?
Pretty much with you there. 2 3/4. I was upset by the opening kind of playing around just because I would want more from these guys, but like you talk about with it being the opener and it being low stakes, it's not that big of a deal. I like Bate showing off his power game here because LP is the flyer, so he doesn't show him up too much. Hit some really nice looking stuff throughout here. I did like the slug off that they kind of have. I really enjoyed it as they kind of work their way up with big blows back and forth. I wish Tyler Bate would drop the head spring lariat. I'm not into it.
I hate it too. Yeah, it's so convoluted.
And then Tyler gets the Tyler driver, gives Bate the win. Good stuff. Solid opener, like you said. Not too egregious if you keep that in mind, but obviously not like a top level main event style match. But I mean, I guess that's not what they were here to deliver.
No, I thought they were here just to entertain, and I thought that's what they did. That spot, like, if I was in the main event, it would drove me nuts that they were doing headstands in the main event, but then they're doing it in the opener, which to me is you get a little bit more leeway with me on what you're trying to do, and you're trying to get the crowd going for a long show. The next up is Kyle Fletcher versus Speedball Mike Bailey. What were your thoughts here?
I really wanted a lot more from this match. I was looking forward to these guys. But they're both like the best underdog sellers that you can have in wrestling right now for my money. So the match was really kind of embarrassment of riches in that regard, where I think you would have been better off booking these guys against two other people, two other heels, that they could get a bunch of sympathy off of instead of this. So it's like, yeah. there was some good, like, cutting. It was like they were both just, like, fighting for their chance to sell. Like, instead of...
like almost like a styles clash in a way.
Yeah, because it's like they both don't have amazing offense. But, you know, so it's like there's some high-speed offense here and there. There's some, like, cool cutting-edge stuff from Speedball. But, like, yeah, there was no one filling in the in-between places. So they were both just looking for big sells. But there was no real nice long control segments to hold.
Yeah, it almost felt, for me, it felt like they're, neither of them are hosses, but it kind of felt like they were trying to work a hoss fight back and forth with neither one of them getting to get heat or sell, because they're both baby faces, I think.
Right.
It was very spotty. Yeah, there's a lot of things not to like about the match, and even though both of them are talented guys, it was just like, it didn't mesh at all.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I like both these guys a lot, and I liked the action that was there, and I thought that, you know, like I said, I mean, they're both so great at selling that you can get some emotion and get some investment in the match even without a strong enough narrative there, but still. So I gave this 2 3/4 stars also because, like I said, I would expect a lot more out of these guys, but, I mean, they just weren't able to deliver on what I would have expected.
Yeah, I went 2.5. And that leaves us to Curtis Chapman versus David Starr. I like this match. Chapman's on fire to start. Starr's stooging big time for him. Starr cuts him off with the slam on the apron. Starr stomps on the hand. Starr getting heat, focusing on the back. Chapman makes the comeback, fun near falls. Really just good solid match. 3 stars for me. What about you, man?
I'm with you. I liked the promo from the start from Starr, talking trash to the crowd. I think that's a problem. You know, I mean, he's like, Starr right now is working heel in some places, babyface in other places, and people aren't giving him a lot of time to develop that heel character, I think, to make it work. So I like that they're giving him the mic and letting him do that here. Liked him bullying Chapman throughout. Starr's really kicking his ass, but Chapman has some cool counters, especially that flipping tombstone. Sends Starr all the way to the floor. I like that a lot. Chapman won't take the count out, but that almost ends up costing him the match. And then I liked the from there, Starr, it almost seems like he's pissed off at him for not just taking, number one, not just taking the count out, number two, not just staying down. Goes for the brainbuster, gets caught with a roll-up. Really good underdog work from Chapman. Great finish, getting that sneaky sneaky roll-up win. I gave it 3 stars also.
Cool. What do you think about Mark Davis versus Pete Dunne?
I liked Pete bullying Davis here quite a bit. I thought that Davis did a really good job selling underneath. In fact, I won't say I like it better, but I would say I put it very similar to Davis's work in the Walter match as well. What puts it over the top in that match, obviously, is that his chest was legitimately bleeding as Walter is just taking it to him, like, nastily. Dunne here was not as vicious in that regard to Davis here. Cool power moves. I like some hope spots for Davis, but not a lot. I mean, there's some arguments against Dunne. I was talking to Quentin, and he was pointing this match out as being kind of ridiculous for Dunne really eating Davis up, and it being kind of a sign of the negatives of Dunne in the indies right now. I kind of take all of Dunne's work holistically, because I think it's, like I talked about David Starr being heel some places, babyface some places, being really a different character, and most indie guys really come across that way to me. I think there's some guys who kind of transcend that. I'd say Matt Riddle kind of transcends that. He's the same guy everywhere, pretty much. Walter is another one I would say he's the same guy everyone. But I think that Pete Dunne, I mean, for the fact that he is WWE UK champion, Pete Dunne, you saw him on the NXT, you know, he's that same character everywhere. That for me, it's hard to like say like, oh, well, you know, on the indies, he does this because it's kind of all part of the same character to me. So I don't like pick apart that he picks people. He's a little bit too, I guess, just like domineering on the indies, because I actually consider that part of the same guy who does the big time selling and taking the cheap underdog stuff in WWE, because it's just kind of showing that like on the indies, he is one of the best guys there is. No one can beat him. And then when he's in, you know, the WWE NXT area, that's where he faces real competition. And while I can definitely see why you would argue that that's like bad, because that makes the indies look like a step down, you can't try to argue that that's not like a clear character delineation that you're supposed to understand about the guy. So him kind of taking Davis apart here just is supposed to show that Davis is not at his level. I like the match a lot. I like both these guys quite a bit, but for me, this still was only like 3 stars. I did not get super into it. And I think that while I can make the argument for why Pete, it's okay to take people apart this much, I didn't think that he necessarily showed the stuff from his offense and the stuff from his style that I really get into, which is a lot of that underdog, not underdog, but a lot of that sneaky, shitty, cheating stuff that he used to do all the time. And I feel like he has cut a lot of that out. So yeah, missing that, it makes the match just not as enjoyable for me.
That's fair. I gave it 3.5 stars. I like Dunne mixing it up between the leg and the arm early on. Dunne's kick stomp combo on the apron was boss. Dunne torturing Davis on the mat. Davis escapes the triangle. Davis is selling the arm. Dunne is like destroying that arm. Davis using big moves to counter Dunne. Love the setup to the pedigree near fall. Just good stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. Even with the size difference, it worked for me. But it made Dunne more of a baby face. 3.5. What about you, man?
I gave it 3.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, what'd you think of Veda and Charlie Everett?
I like Evans a lot more as a heel.
I'm sorry.
I like Charlie Evans a lot more as a bully heel, and it felt like Veda was trying to play that character here. And it kind of made me question why Veda gets booked as a heel. I don't have any argument for that she's a better worker as a babyface. Her best matches to me have been really more like strong style, I guess you would say. Like, she's not really working heel or baby. She's just kind of doing the like big bomb kind of match where she's showing off her competitiveness. So like, if I was going to say, I think in ring, that's kind of her strong suit. But then I understand, like, as a commentator, as a manager and all that, she makes more sense as a heel. But I don't know why that has to then automatically be, oh, well, then she works as a heel, because she doesn't cut promos in Rev Pro. So it doesn't matter that she's a better promo heel. Like, it just is a waste here. Because then, yeah, I felt like here she's playing bully heel and it just doesn't work for me. I don't really get any heat from it. I don't buy into her. Evans gets some offense that I like a lot, but it's just like she keeps getting taken over and controlled by Veda, doing stuff that I don't really buy into. Evans getting the win with a Russian leg sweep out of nowhere just didn't feel like it does anything for either of them. But at least, you know, the right person wins in the match. I gave it 2.25 star. I just think that the match could have been a lot better, honestly. And that's based on, like, knowing both of these girls' track records. I just think that the booking and the alignment affected the match for me.
I hated the match. Give it a star. Thought it was just sloppy. I thought their storytelling was limited. I blame a lot of it on Veda. She's larger than life at some in moments. And, man, she was here. I just thought they missed the mark on what they were trying to accomplish here. Main event, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Trent Seven. Of course, Zack Sabre's after the arm with the guardrail. Zack Sabre Jr. really putting one over Trent Seven strikes. Zack Sabre Jr. Transitions a Gotch pile driver into a triangle. Trent Seven uses the pile driver. Uses that pile driver and it looks absolutely sick. Trent Seven has a lot of great near falls here. One of Trent Seven's best matches. I give it 3.75. He's a guy I'm not high on at all. And Trent's come in and he's a mixed bag. One of the matches I want to see him work is Jerry Lawler. I'd be interested in seeing them work some sticky stick stuff. Trent Seven is not a guy I'm actively looking for nowadays. He's kind of become a cliche in a way. And his token comedy spots are almost become, you're expecting to see him right off the bat. But still, good match, 3.75. What you make of it, Tim?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I give it 3.5. I liked the beginning. They were like jockeying for position, but it still felt a little bit rough. I love Trent takes a cheap shot slap and that pisses Sabre off. And that turns it into a fight. And I thought that from there, it really kind of stayed in the fight mode the whole time. It did harken back to an older Trent Seven without kind of as much of the bullshit personality stuff and more like the strong style, the British strong style that he's all about. Which I thought was interesting because, you know, there was a talking point for a long time about Zack Sabre Jr. makes everyone work his kind of match, which I think at this point that talking point is pretty thoroughly beaten down. But right here, I mean, was the, I think, textbook example of how that's not true. I felt like Zack, even though he's kind of known somewhat for his whole strong style thing, I think in this match he really made sure to work to Trent's strengths. And talk about the touring champion. I mean, that's the epitome of the touring champion. He makes sure to work a match so that his opponent looks believable, like he could beat him, makes it look like a big-time deal, working his style of match, like I said, making him look really good. Twisting pile driver from Trent is fucking gruesome. That was, like, the nasty spot of the match. Like I said, love the action. Thought Zack did a really good job. He talked about it. I mean, one of Trent's best matches. Zack did an amazing job here to make sure that you bought into Trent by the end. He got it to even so people like you and me are like actually enjoying a Trent Seven match. So that's showing a lot about like his skill as someone who can bring it out of other people and make them look good. So you know, good stuff there. I have to say, great showing from Zack Sabre Jr. Trent was maybe just along for the ride. Maybe he wanted to turn it up and have a good match. Whatever it is, it ended up delivering.
Cool. Overall, I have to give the show a thumbs up. I thought we had good quality wrestling on a good spot on a spot show, essentially. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, it's one of their smaller shows, but lots of really good wrestling, lots of fun action, top to bottom, flows right by. So yeah, good stuff all around.
I was just thinking about something. Yeah, I totally enjoyed it too. You think the main event was the best match on the show?
Yeah, for sure. I liked the main event the most.
Yeah. What do you got? Let's send it. And anything you got to plug, man?
Yeah, a special co-produced episode of The Dead / Fight Network Friends, reviewing the most recent Tetsujin shoot style. Had a lot of the same guys from this show in it. Me and Quentin going on with Andy Labar and Brennan Patrick talking about the Tetsujin. So check that out. It's on the Fight Network Friends feed, and it's also on the PWO feed where you're listening to this. That's about it from me. Follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Titans of Wrestling. Don't forget Worldcast Wednesday. Have a great week. Watch the wrestling. Later.
I'm just a girl. Like, patriarchy is a real thing. I just want to say that my feminism will be intersectional, or it will be bullshit.
Absolutely, girl.
Did you hear about this?
What? Claim our bodies.
I don't know.
Claim our rights.
It's our boundaries, bro.
If it's my
have boundaries.
It's my choice.
Yeah, I'm just a girl without a bra who likes to get in my zone. I'm just a girl who likes to roll a blunt and smoke it alone. I'm just a girl who acting bitch because I'm still on my psycho. I'm just a girl who wanna have my cake and eat on a ride. I'm just a whoa, tired of niggas and bros telling sisters where she need to go. You like it slow? Yeah, you want it dirty, I know. Turn around and you call me a hoe. Got my show. I freed the nipple and tickled them, then I proceeded to glow. Damn, so distressing, oh no. F*** who I wanna, and then I'ma kick in the dough. You already know.
Oh, you ain't know, that's baby girl. Still running.